This is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction Show. Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen, here along with Yuona and Mark Thiessen on this Thursday, February the 5th, 2015, first Thursday in February. And today we're going to be talking about something a little different, something we haven't really touched on very much. We're going to talk about visualization and all the different ways that you can visualize and all of the benefits that come from visualizing, or at least all the ones that we know of through our personal experience. So get the ball rolling. I have to kind of throw in a disclaimer, Yuona and Mark. My disclaimer is I don't visualize real well because my eyesight's never been really good, so my visualizing has never been good. I audioize, but I don't do much visualizing. Okay.
Well, that might be okay. First, I want to say I can't believe it's February already, but yeah.
Amazing, isn't it? It just flies right by.
Yes. Yeah, it does.
Maybe audioizing or whatever that's called can be another topic for another day.
You may have created something, Walt.
Oh, okay. Well, starting with visualizing, I guess most people who've heard of visualizing of any kind usually associate it with one of two things. They associate it with the world of sports, or if they're more familiar with the law of attraction, they associate it with the concept of vision boards. And I'm going to start with sports because there's a scientific and medical side to that that you can talk to, Yuona. But visualization's been around, at least in the United States, as a serious discipline for at least 30 to 40 years now, I guess dating back really to the Apollo moon missions. And it has really taken off during that time, with or without any association with the law of attraction. And a lot of scientific work has been done, hasn't it?
Yeah, in fact, yeah, you won't find a professional athlete, especially in the individual type sports like tennis or some of those swimming, who don't use visualization. I remember reading the autobiography of, and his name just slipped me, 8-time Olympic swimmer, Michael Phelps, yes.
Michael Phelps.
Yes, and he is a huge, a proponent of visualization. His coach introduced it to him when he was just a kid, and he has been using that ever since. And, I mean, if he uses visualization, you want to do whatever Michael Phelps does.
Yeah, right.
I know.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, he was, in his book, I remember being so fascinated about the fact that he used the visualization, because he takes it to the next level. He visualizes every possible outcome, event in a race. Like, anything can happen. Like, if the lights go off or the power goes out, he visualizes himself winning that race. So he visualizes, I don't know, the possible hamstrings. And he's still winning, so he visualizes every single, situation, and always ends up with him winning the race.
That's key, isn't it? The scenario has to turn out to be a positive result if you want the visualization to produce positive results in your real life.
Yes, absolutely.
Another person who comes to mind where visualization is concerned would be almost any baseball player, particularly a hitter. Hitters are the best hitters have much better than average eyesight. It's not uncommon for a really, really top flight hitter to have 20/15 or even 20/10 vision. And as a result, of course, it's kind of natural for them. It's just very easy for them to visualize because their vision is so clear. But you'll also find that they are very much into visualizing every single millisecond of an at-bat.
Yes, they do.
And as a result, they produce very well.
Yeah, interestingly, we were watching the Super Bowl a couple of weeks ago, and you remember how that ended with that amazing interception?
Yeah, that was a bizarre interception.
I'm assuming you watched it.
I watched the last 5 minutes. I didn't watch the whole game, but that last 5 minutes was quite remarkable.
Yeah, so, and they interviewed the guy who made the interception right at the end of the game, and it was interesting that he said that he had a vision of him making some phenomenal play during the game.
That's
and
right,
it
he
happened.
Did. Yeah.
He said that.
And he was also the one who was the defender on the play prior to that. I think it was one or two plays prior, where the Seahawks, Russell Wilson threw downfield, and the ball was batted in the air by like two or three different players and landed in the hands
right.
of the receiver lying on his back. Well, the defender who had been victimized on that was the same guy who ended up getting the interception.
Right, exactly.
So he went from a very unhappy state, although interestingly enough, this is also tying into this whole concept of visualization and the law of attraction. But mm-hmm. when he made that play, or actually in his own eyes, and he missed the play and the receiver caught the ball, he was dejected
right.
going back to the bench.
I remember that.
And when he got back to the mm-hmm. bench, all of his teammates were congratulating him. He says, "Why? I gave up this long reception." He says, "You kept them from going into the end zone. That's fantastic."
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And of course, picking him up like that made a big difference just two plays later, because he was psyched, he was ready, and talk about visualizing. Not only did he have the prior visualization, like you described, but at the point mm-hmm. of the play, as the Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson was calling the snap, he mm-hmm. put his eyes right on that cornerback. He looked right in the
right.
eye, and the cornerback said, "That's mm-hmm. how he knew it was going to be a pass play."
Of course, yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing about visualization. When you get into it, one of the points that you are taught is to visualization then helps you to be more aware of opportunities for your vision or whatever it is that you're, whatever goal or objective you are trying to accomplish. So when you visualize them, whatever it is you're visualizing, then your subconscious, as it were, goes out in search of opportunities to make that visualization a reality. So, yeah, that definitely worked in that case.
So it's another example of when you open yourself to positives, among other things, what you're doing is you're opening up your awareness to more positives.
Yes, yes. And as a matter of fact, there's a whole science of research, neuroscience specifically behind that, and I was planning to talk about that later on in the show, but I guess we can talk about it now. There is a region in your brain called the reticular activating system, or mm-hmm. RAS for mm-hmm. short, and this is the part of the brain that looks for patterns. And what visualization does is it activates or powers that part of your brain to start looking for patterns to basically complete that picture that you're forming in your mind. And so when you activate the RAS, then the RAS goes out and subconsciously is looking for opportunities and experiences to then bring that vision into reality. And research has been done that shows that the more you visualize, you actually strengthen that part of your brain becomes more active, it becomes stronger and more powerful.
Let's look at that term once again. Reticular, what is it again?
Activating system.
Reticular activating system. Reticular refers to what?
As in an eye, like reticular, like vision, reticular, it's connected to your vision, the pictures, visuals.
So it's eyesight. Essentially, it's
yes.
vision. Reticular is referring
right.
to your brain's ability to see.
Correct.
And what we're essentially talking about here, I believe, is with the reticular activation system, is that it's the filtering system, isn't it? It's the system
yeah.
that prevents our brains and our minds from overloading with all the data coming in.
Right, that's part of it, one of its tasks, yes. That's one of the things it does.
So in a sense, when we are becoming more aware of a potential positive or a series of potential positives, what we're really doing is defiltering. We're removing some filters that would normally
yes,
block
them. Exactly it. I hadn't thought about it that way before, but that is exactly what happens. So, you know, they use the example of when you buy a brand new car, red car, whatever, they Honda, whatever, and then all of a sudden you start seeing them everywhere. Mm-hmm. You just activated your RAS to now look for red cars and defilter out or filter out all other cars, basically. They're still there in the same amount, but now you're just more attuned to the red cars.
So visualization is, it sounds like it's probably the most effective way to consciously filter.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And the ultimate goal is to subconsciously filter. And that's why audiolization is not necessarily a bad thing. Whatever it works to help you get there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I guess the reason I keep hammering on these little minor points here is because what it all seems to add up to is we have tremendous amounts of control over what it is we're going to focus on, and more importantly, what results are going to come out of that focus.
Yes, we do have tremendous amounts of control.
A lot more than we perhaps would have realized without having this kind of scientific information.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. The challenge is actually utilizing that power.
Yeah, it's a training mechanism, isn't it? It's about trying to learn how to turn on the filters to your own benefit consistently rather than just letting random default behavior make the decisions for you.
Correct, yes. And that's why it's such a powerful tool for athletes, you know? Because when they are engaged in their sport, whatever it is, there are a million different things going on around them and, you know, even happening in their own head. But they want, at that time, the ideal is to be focused on winning. And so that definitely helps them do that.
So someone in their everyday life, they could be visualizing almost anything and helping make it becoming a part of their conscious life just through the visualization process. So, for instance, if they're single and they're looking for a partner, just by visualizing that the ideal partner and doing that consistently could open their eyes to actually spotting that person rather than missing them. You know, the next time that they see a potential specimen.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And part of the idea too is to, you know, get specific with what you're visualizing, because you might just attract what you know, in terms of a mate, I'm thinking, they may be a man, but you want to be more specific than that if you're female.
and vice versa. If you're a man, you want to be more specific than just a female. I mean, there are females,
right, exactly.
And there are females, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the more detail you can put into your visuals, into your pictures, is actually better for you and for the process, for your RAS and everything else.
And really, there is not a field, so to speak, where this doesn't apply, is there? I mean, you don't even have to believe in the law of attraction. You can just simply use this concept with anything from health to wealth to relationships to favorite vacations to, like you said, sports to almost anything that you can possibly do or pursue or aspire after in life.
Yeah, and that's the power of this tool of visualization. Just nothing that's off limits as far as it's concerned.
So let's see. You guys have been in the vortex now for, what is it, about a couple of months, 3 months now? What do you guys visualize these days?
You know, as I was preparing for this for the program, I realized that I've not been visualizing as much as I should. But, you know, we're trying to get a home, and we actually saw a really nice house that we like. And, you know, but we have been instead thinking about, oh, I suppose it's going to work out, you know, blah, blah, blah. But now I've been re-inspired that I need to actually spend more time visualizing me owning and living in this home. So, yeah.
Which shows just how important it is to make it a discipline, a regiment that you a regiment that you follow at all times. Because here you've been in a very positive place for a very long time, and yet you still forgot about it. It shows that how important establishing that habit is.
I know, that's the thing. I wish I had a secret potion that I could take so that I could overcome that. But yeah. Yeah, that goes back to that whole programming thing that we continually talk about. The programming is so powerful that even, you know, 3 months in the vortex is still not enough.
Really. It still doesn't overcome it all by itself, huh?
Exactly.
So, Mark, what do you visualize? Do you ever do any visualization?
You know, I guess I don't have a habit of doing that, and I definitely should as well, because when I'm reminded of it, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about doing these shows. You know, it's not just for the audience, but it's
yeah,
for
that's
us
true.
As well.
Yeah, when we do preparation, we're thinking about it in terms of our own application as well as what we can tell to the audience. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. For myself, I've actually been doing some visualization, although as we talked earlier, my visualization is more audio than visual. But there is some visual involved in it, as much as I'm able to do, at least within comfort level. Most of mine has been on one, not so much an event, not so much a thing to do, although it is a thing to do. It's more of an experience. And that experience is, I'm just focusing on as many different ways as I can think of to feel good. And anything that is maybe something I saw in a movie that was a really fun or exciting or, you know, thrilling scene, or maybe it was something comedic, maybe something I read, maybe something I saw online, maybe something happened, you know, in my conversations with Louise or with you guys or somebody I met out in the street or something. But just kind of keeping not so much a list, but sort of like an informal inventory of these things that are positive, things that feel good, things that are like, you know, watching the horse race and the horse wins that you're rooting for, that kind of feeling.
Yeah.
And I'm finding that I had a real breakthrough this past week. An emotional breakthrough. One of my bugaboos for years has been financial. And specifically, what often comes up for me, because I'm self-employed, is tax-related and the bookkeeping and all that. And I know how to do it, but it stresses the heck out of me. And when you're in an ongoing pattern like I have been in, where finances have been tight and so on, you get into a negative spiral. And that negative spiral manifests usually once a month for me, because I'm doing the books once a month, in which I look at the books and I say, oh my God, everything is so terrible, and I get myself into a bad place. Well, that doesn't do anything except pinch you off from, you know, the good things happening. And I decided I really wanted to try to do something about that. I didn't have a specific goal for this month to try to do something to turn that around, but as for me, I do my bookkeeping on the first of the month, so I call it my first of the month work. As the first of the month was coming around, I could sense that feeling coming, that horrible feeling. And for whatever reason, I was in a frame of mind that said, you know what, I just can't allow myself to be there this month. This month, I have to be in a better frame of mind. I just need to be right now. So I can't explain beyond that what it was that motivated me more this month than any other month, but I was just determined that that particular day when I was working on the books, I was going to feel better. And you know what? I was really tried that day. I was tried very hard. I had like one thing after another, not just books related, but, you know, just various negative things that were coming at me. And each time, somehow, I'm not quite sure how, but each time that something was starting to happen, I just said to myself, okay, well, we'll just deal with this and we'll move on. Not worry about it. We're just going to deal with this and move on. And much to my amazement, I was actually able, during that time period, at times when things were getting terribly stressful, that there were parts of that day were just unbelievably stressful. But as those times were coming up, I was able to actually remember some of these happy inventory memories that I've been storing up and get myself into, at one point, I got myself into feeling really, really good in the middle of a really bad situation. Now, I don't know if I can convey to you how weird that feels. It feels unbelievably weird. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, the thing that was going on was not cosmically terrible. It wasn't like, you know, a relative dying or something like that. But it was high stress stuff. It was very painful. It was difficult. It was, you know, people upset and all this kind of stuff. And here I was thinking, wow, I'm just imagining this really cool horse race where my horse won. That was a breakthrough.
You know,
For two reasons.
Describing it.
Well, let me finish.
Go ahead.
It was a breakthrough for two reasons. The first reason was because I was able to feel good in the midst of what is normally a very difficult time for me. That was big. But related to that, and perhaps the bigger thing, is for years, I had trouble believing that you could actually control how you feel, regardless of what the circumstances are. I had trouble. Well, first of all, I just simply didn't believe it. And when I first heard about The Secret, it was not the first time I've ever heard about positive thinking, but when I first heard about The Secret and the Law of Attraction, and I heard them saying that you literally have control over what you feel, my reaction was, no, you don't. So the whole concept of being able to make yourself feel different dramatically from what is actually going on was just so foreign to me. And to be able to actually manifest that kind of feeling for myself this past week was phenomenal. That was a huge, huge step forward for me. So, you know, I don't know exactly what's going to come out of all this. I mean, obviously, it's kind of early days. But, wow, to have that kind of experience where despite huge negativity going on around me, I was able to get myself in a good frame of mind and stay there for a good part of the day. I mean, I wasn't there all day long. There were times of the day where it was just getting to me. But nevertheless, I was able to control a large part of it, and that was just amazing.
Yeah, that is such a great example of, you know, when I talk about how empowering all this information is, just learning that you can actually have control, because like you, I don't even know if I ever believed or disbelieved that it was possible. I just never even thought about the fact that I have control over my emotions, but I remember when it kind of occurred to me, and it happened gradually, not like you suddenly.
Well, for me, it wasn't even a belief. It was a certainty. There was no way to control my own feelings.
Okay.
I was 100% certain.
Wow. Yeah, that is very empowering. But, you know, interestingly, what you were talking about, it seems to happen, like, almost all the time. And, you know, even for us, as you described being in the vortex, you know, when we, you know, we set an intention to say, okay, you know what, our only job here is to be happy. And like, almost like on cue, the minute you set that intention, everything falls apart, it seems, you know. Like, like all these situations that come up to kind of deny that or resist that. And I know from my former days as a, you know, as a staunch Christian, you know, you were basically taught that that's the devil trying to get you kind of thing, you know. And I no longer believe in the devil, but I'm not sure what that is, though, that just causes all these things like you were talking about. It seems like you decide you're going to be happy during the build, and then all these things just kind of pop up and try to, you know, make sure that that doesn't happen. I don't know what that is about, but, you know, I've resolved to kind of think about it as basically your ego, you know, striving for its life. Because, you know, when you are happy in spite of your circumstances, that is death to the ego, basically.
Well, I think I have a part of an explanation about what that's all about, that negative thing you're talking about that you no longer think of as the devil. I think I can explain what that is, at least in part.
Okay. Yeah.
Because we know that, particularly where the law of attraction is concerned, that there is a delay very often built in. And the delay has to do with whether or not we're 100% or 90% or 80% or 40% or 20% in alignment with source energy.
Okay.
So the more in alignment we are, the sooner and easier stuff comes through. The less in alignment we are, the more of a delay there can be. And if we're completely out of alignment, then we just block it forever.
Right.
Or at least until we get back into alignment. Well, because of that, it's not like we ever actually it's not like we're attracting negativity. That's one thing that I picked up on a little quote I saw from Abraham Hicks this week. We can only attract positively. We can't really attract negatively. The most thing that we can do is to turn ourselves off to the positivity, and then what we experience very much seems like we're attracting negativity. But really all that's happened is we have blocked ourselves from the positivity, from the positive source energy coming through. Well, if that's the case, and if there's a some delay of some duration involved, and the duration can vary from case to case and person to person and situation to situation. Well, then at any given point where you have a, quote, bad day, unquote, and you're feeling good during that day, what that means is all that negative stuff that happened derived from a place, a set point that you were at previously, whether a day before, 2 days before, 5 days, a week, a month, whatever. But in other words, the experience is where you were. The feeling is where you are. Right. And that's why there can be a difference between the two.
Okay. That makes sense, yes, because, of course, our current experience is a manifestation of what we were feeling sometimes prior.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas when we're feeling good, that's going to manifest at some future point with good, with positive of some kind.
Right. And, you know, that kind of ties in with visualization. I was doing a quick reading in line, and one of these practitioners was saying that when you are engaged in visualization and you try to be as specific and as detailed as you can, and when you do that, sometimes stuff comes up, you know, in your visualization. And he said that those are the areas where you have the block, where you have the, you know, the energy is not flowing, and those are the areas you should try to get clear on, or to move, or to shift, basically. You know, and as Abraham Hicks said, you know, you don't go full force headlong into it. You basically find the next highest thought that you can along those lines. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
So you may not be able to see the whole, you know, all the stuff removed, but if you can just get to the next level, or, you know, slightly better thought than the one you're currently or experiencing the feeling, then you can do that gradually until you have removed the block. And he was saying that that's the reason why sometimes our visualization is not as effective as it can be, because most people, when they encounter those blocks, they either stop or they go in a different direction, you know?
So
those blocks are kind of like what you were saying. Those are showing you, those are indications to you where you were or what you were feeling sometime prior, or maybe even to some subconscious energy issues that you might be having in terms of getting to that higher energy vibration so that you can attract your dreams to you.
Makes sense. Well, listen, we're about halfway through. Let's take a break. And after the break, why don't we talk about any tools that any person can use to just make small shifts in their set point toward a more positive range, since that's the easier kind of transition to make anyway. Sound good?
Yes, sounds great.
All right. This is LOA Today here on PRN. We will be back after these messages. Welcome back to LOA Today, Walt and Yona and Mark, on this Thursday, February 5th. And during the break, we were talking about all the different ways that our reticular activation system can get in our way, which can be quite frustrating at times.
Yes, it can. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my. But the good thing is, like we were talking about before the break, is it is possible to change your set point. It's possible to do it in small increments. In fact, it's much easier than trying to do it in one great big gulp. So with that thought in mind, let's talk individually about what the strategies and techniques we all individually use to make incremental, small improvements in our mood at any given time during the day. For instance, I'll go first and talk about kind of what I was talking about before. I'm starting to develop this inventory, as I like to call it, of things I've watched on movies or television, or things I've read or experiences I had, all of which added up to an experience of feeling really good, really excited, really strong emotional feeling inside. Some of my favorite movies that we talked about a couple weeks ago, Dreamer, has that sequence at the end with the horse race, and they win the horse race. It's a it's an unbelievable odds against you kind of a race. They're 81 long shot, 80 to 1 against, and they win the race. And by the time they win that race, everybody's feeling really, really good. And you're, as an audience member, you just got that glow inside. Well, that's one of the things that I think about when I need to move my set point up just a notch or two. And because it's such a big experience to remember, a very, very super positive, happy experience, I find I can move my own set point a notch or two pretty easily just by putting myself back into that memory and remembering what it feels like.
Yeah, that certainly works.
Well, do you guys have anything that you use? Do you use that kind of visualization, or what techniques do you guys use to try to improve your set point when you want to bring it up a notch or two?
So what I try gratitude. It doesn't always work,
but sometimes it does.
Yeah, sometimes it does. It really does. Sometimes, most of the times, it does. So I try to find something either within the very experience or outside of it to be grateful for. And so, you know, no matter what, how terrible the experience is, there's always something that, there's always some small or big part of it that is actually a good, beneficial thing. So, I try to, you know, be grateful for the experience. And you know, one of the things I've been learning to do lately is just simply be grateful that life is dynamic, you know? And nothing lasts forever. So even in through the horrible times, I'm thinking, you know what? This is going to have to come to an end at some point.
So it's basically the the silver lining approach. Finding the silver lining in what's happening and not noticing so much the big black cloud that's, you know, engulfing you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and that really works amazingly.
Yeah, most of the techniques I use, I guess I wouldn't categorize them as visualization, but I just remember, I do sometimes, not much, I will visualize myself in the near future, feeling or being in a place. I, you know, picture myself smiling and enjoying where I am, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm.
So you're not describing so much of a series of events as an existential experience. It's to be that feeling that you're experiencing that aura of what that feels like.
Well, and seeing it too, you know, actually seeing an image, a scene in my mind of myself, you know, in a place, you know, a happy place. Right, that's often an analogy. I mean, actually being in a specific, beautiful, like for instance, you know, well, we moved to Florida here, so, on a boat, for example, you know, out on the water and the sun is shining and, you know, I'm with the love of my life, my wife, and we're having a great time, you know, that sort of thing.
Incidentally, for me, all I need to do is step outside.
Well, that's true, too.
And by the way, that's not cheating.
Yes. Right, it's not cheating, no. You know, I look at Louise's pictures, and they're beautiful from Florida.
The pictures you're referring to, of course, are the snow pictures that she posted on her Facebook page this past week from all the storms we've got. We now have about a foot of snow on the ground.
Yeah, lovely postcard pictures, but that's a special one.
They're very pleasant when the temperatures are in the 60s and 70s.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel the same way. In fact, when I'm out in temperate temperatures like that, particularly if I'm doing my daily walk or whatever, I love just soaking that in. I love soaking in that feeling because then I don't have to visualize anything. It's just happening.
Yeah.
That's the easy way. Yeah. In fact, that's how I kind of got started on the whole visualization thing, because you'll remember I talked about how visualizing a different feeling from what was happening to you was impossible. That's the way I looked at it. And so when I first heard this idea that you could control how you feel in any given circumstance, regardless of what the outside circumstances were, my first reaction, of course, was impossible. And then when I started to believe that it actually could happen, I found myself in a place where I didn't have the tools. I mean, I had never done it because I didn't think you could do it. So I'm basically learning from scratch. And when you're in that place, you have to have the most simplest of steps to take. Well, the simplest of steps is to simply walk out into nature on a beautiful day and experience the nature, because that way you don't have to visualize it. You don't have to really do much work at all except go out there. Well, you actually do a lot of work because you're not used to doing this kind of thing. So it's a lot of work at first, but it comes much easier very quickly. And the work is literally nothing more than noticing all the details of that wonderful day's experience. Literally, as the cliche goes, going out and smelling the roses.
Yeah. And, you know, just as you were mentioning that you realize you didn't have the tools, that's pretty common in our society.
Yeah.
We have spent so much time outside of ourselves, not being present, that we've forgotten how to do that. And that, in turn, makes visualization all the more difficult. You know, as wonderful the technology as television and the movies are, you know, they have basically reduced our ability to imagine, because we have the pictures created for us. You know, very rarely do people, especially kids, read books and use their imagination to visualize the stories, because when you watch a movie, they create pictures for you. And I remember with my nephew, and I was trying to teach him visualization. And of course, I know he does it. You know, each child does it. But when I actually asked him to do it consciously, he had a hard time doing it. Because, you know, with TV and movies and video games, all the images are created for you. And so your ability to imagine is actually weakened, or it goes dormant. And so it really takes some effort and some training on your part to redevelop that skill. Because, you know, as children, we had no trouble doing that at all. But as you get older, it somehow, you know, becomes more and more challenging. But visualization, for it to be effective, you really have to not just see the picture, but get into it. You can't just use your mind. You have to use your emotions. You have to use your heart. You have to see it and smell it and taste it and touch it and feel it. You really have to get into that picture, and that is what makes visualization a very, very powerful tool for attracting what you want.
One of my favorite scenes from the movie The Secret was the scene where Mike Dooley is the presenter, and he says, I want you to look at your hands right now. And he holds up his hands. He says, look at the back of your hands. I want you to study every detail of them. Look at every freckle, every pore, every wrinkle in the joints and everything else. And then close your eyes and imagine your hands wrapping themselves around the steering wheel of your brand new car. And then he takes you on this visualization tour of what it's like to drive a car of your dreams in your imagination. And, of course, they have this actor who's portraying this, and he's sitting in his living room as he's doing this. He's got his eyes closed, and he's driving. You can practically see the wind in his hair, although he's bald, so he doesn't have any hair. But he's shifting, and he's waving to imaginary people, and he's driving, and he's all excited, and he's happy and so forth. And then after the little scene is done, Mike Dooley says, well, some people complain that, you know, that sounds like a lot of work. Do I really have to do that? And his reply is, how badly do you want change to happen? And then once he says that, the last piece of the scene you see is the guy getting up from his armchair, and he picks up the TV remote, points it at the armchair, and the armchair has two rear lights that flash at you like you locked the car door.
Wow.
Very cool.
Yeah. You know, just as you were talking, I don't even remember that scene from the movie, but I tried to do that, and I realized that is hard. It takes training. I could see my hand very blurry.
Yeah.
You mentioned reading books as a possible technique. Does that work?
Yes. Avid readers are very good at visualizing. I'm an avid reader, and I know some of you, we talked about this. Sometimes when you read a book, and you're so good at imagining, or you hear a story from someone and you've imagined every detail as you've been told, and then sometime later on you have trouble deciding whether you actually were there or somebody told you about this experience, because you imagined it so very well, and that's what visualization is about.
The trick with a book is really to make sure that you read the book from what I would call a right brain perspective as opposed to a left brain perspective. Because the left brain perspective is just going to follow the storyline and listen to it logically and piece it together and experience it that way. But the way to read the book the way you're describing is to hopefully have an author who knows how to do good descriptive writing. And then as the writer sets the scene and, you know, they identify what's going on in the scene and who's there and what they look like and what they're doing and what they're wearing and what color their hair is and so forth, your job as the reader is to take each one of those pieces of information as it's given to you and, in effect, paint the picture in your mind. And if you can do that, that's the visualization that you're talking about.
Yeah, when you have a good author who can really do that, and then you can then go into that picture with everything, you know. And as I'm talking about this, I'm thinking about your sister, PJ.
Mm-hmm.
PJ tells the best stories ever.
Yeah. She's a very visual person. There is no doubt about it.
I know, and so when she tells stories about you guys growing up, it's almost as if I were there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because among other things, not only is she a very visual person, but she has theatrical training, so she knows how to present the details and all that kind of stuff. But this is where this whole right brain and left brain thing can actually be both a challenge and a blessing at the same time. In that, for the right brain person, right brain people actually have it tough in many ways because so much of our society is left brain designed and left brain oriented. So their ability to relate to it, if they're particularly heavily right brain, can be quite difficult. But on the other hand, when it comes to something like visualization becomes really, really easy for them. On the flip side, you've got the left brainers who have this entire society that's oriented toward them. But when it comes to visualization, they're the ones who have the biggest challenge with it. And I kind of fall into that category too, because I came very strongly from a left brain perspective, although I do have a significant right brain component. I'm probably perhaps more balanced in that sense than many people are. But nevertheless, most of my life experience was left brain. And so it has been a challenge for me to learn how to visualize. And it's compounded by the fact that my eyesight's never been really that great anyway. So my ability to actually create a visual image is difficult at times. Dreaming, for instance, I don't tend to dream very clearly at all. I rarely have color. They really sequence together very nicely. But sound I do really well with. So that's when I started realizing I can focus on creating sound images, so to speak. And that's why, for instance, I can hear an entire orchestra in my mind when I'm hearing a tune, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, that's very interesting. You know, that's a whole area of neuroscience. You know, this whole left brain, right brain dichotomy. And there are some researchers who think that we're all left brain and right brain, and there's no real what happens is we've been conditioned, like you were describing, to develop one side of that, and that's mostly the left brain. But I think what I've been reading lately, the people who are most successful are the ones who have learned how to basically, or some people do it automatically, or we've always done it without even thinking about it, but how to integrate both sides, both the logical and the creative, and really kind of, you know, have the fusion of those two perspectives in everything that they do, and that really gives them an edge over the society. So, but you know, so much of our education and our training and our society has been so left brain oriented that, you know, just like I was saying, kids no longer know how to imagine. My goodness, it's really a sad thing.
On the one hand, on the other hand, it's a happy thing because as virtualization continues, it's going to develop more and more to the point where there's going to be more and more user input. And as you get more and more user input, now there's going to be more opportunity to visualize because now you have the opportunity to actually create your environment. The whole world of video games and so forth is still in its infancy in that sense, but that's coming very soon. And when that comes, I think that's going to kind of shift that tendency you're talking about.
Yeah, I hope so, though. I mean, I'm going to visualize it being better. I think the challenge is, just thinking about it off the cuff, I haven't really given it much thought, but I see it being still too heavily influenced by the creators, you know, and, like I was sharing with Mark one time that it would be great if we had sci-fi or you know, one of those video games where everything good happened as opposed to what is more popular, you know. So that would be the challenge.
Of course, the good news where that's concerned, well, there are two pieces there. One piece of good news is that ultimately, whether or not the creators, as you describe them, put up a creation that is not the creation of the people who are leaning on it, so to speak, who are just relying on it in place of visualization, while that's not a particularly desirable circumstance, it is a circumstance that's completely within the control of the people who are leaning on the visualizers. It's not like the creators have a hold on us and that we can't break that hold. It doesn't work that way at all. So that's good news. It means that the opportunity remains there no matter what. And, you know, they can brainwash us all that they want to, but it doesn't take away the fact that we can still visualize whenever we want to as long as we're willing to do it. I mean, if anybody has ever proven it, it's me. Because, like I said, 10 years ago, I didn't even believe you could visualize a different feeling from what you were actually experiencing in your day-to-day life. If I can do it coming from that perspective, if I can actually get myself to the point where now I can feel good in the middle of a crisis, anybody can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the task is one, helping everyone to be aware of the fact that they have this ability, and two, like you said, then reigniting that power. Because, you know, just as you described, when you did have to realize that you had the power, you still had trouble actually using it. So that those are the two things that need to be tackled.
And quite clearly, even though I had not used it to the point of complete dormancy, they still couldn't take it away from me. It was always there.
Yeah.
Even though I've been programmed, up and down the wazoo. I mean, it's just been all ridiculous how much I've been programmed, just like everybody else. And yet, despite all that programming, all that belief that you can't control your own circumstances and so forth, I'm kind of understating it. All it took was an exposure to an idea that said, yes, you can control it. Actually being willing to believe it against all odds, because all of my experience told me that you couldn't control it, daring to try to do it, and finding that I could.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that as much as we may say, you know, that people who say, I can't visualize, I don't know how to visualize, yet they are champion warriors.
Yeah.
That is actually using your powers of visualization.
Yeah, it's just not...
To pay power.
It's just not visualizing the way that you would want to. It's not visualizing to the kind of result that you're looking for, but it's still visualizing.
Right. Yeah, they're visualizing everything that they don't want, all things that would, you know, be disastrous. But, you know, we have all mastered that to varying degrees because, you know, we were raised in a society that is built on fear and, you know, precaution and watch outs and all that kind of stuff. So we've been trained into learning how to project and how to, you know, visualize all the things that could go wrong. So we just need to learn to shift that out of negative and into what we do want to happen.
And we got to believe that we can actually take control and get control.
Yes, definitely.
Which seems like a lot when you haven't done it before, but once you start doing it and you realize that you can do it, it isn't so much as a big, wow moment. It's more like a, oh, moment, you know? It's like, oh, my eyes are open. Like, wow, I really can do that. That's amazing. How did I do that?
Yeah, it's an awesome thing. For me, it's just now getting into a habit of doing it regularly. That's great. And been challenged.
Well, you know what I've been working with lately to get myself into that frame of mind to find that inventory and so forth? And, mm-hmm. and I used this heavily that day where I was dealing with the tax issues. Mm-hmm. Abraham Hicks has a series of meditation CDs that they put out, 15-minute meditations on four different topics. Let's see, mm-hmm. there's like a general wellness meditation, there's a health meditation, a relationships meditation, and a financial meditation. And I have all four of those that I put onto a recorded CD all in the same place so that I could play all four at a time. And mm-hmm. I've been playing those regularly. I will play them before I go to sleep. I'll play them. This is the most important one. I was letting myself slide on this, and I finally got to the point where I realized it was undermining me. So I now mm-hmm. deliberately wake up each morning and play at least one of those for 15 minutes, even if I'm doing other mm-hmm. stuff. You know, I'll pull out the iPhone and put it on there, and then I can, you know, wear earphones, or if people like earbuds, they can wear those. And that way I can just walk around doing my stuff while I'm hearing this thing and not wake Louise up. And then
So how long have you been doing it?
Let's see. I started that about a week to 10 days ago, something like that.
Okay.
I didn't really mark the day, but it's been about a week to 10 days. And that mm-hmm. has made a big difference. I can't say that it has manifested anything in particular that I can think of, but it has helped me feel better. And it's helped me manage and control my response to what's going on around me a whole lot better. So that I find myself a lot more now with people who, you know, something bad will happen and I'm talking with somebody about it, and they'll focus on the bad part. And I'm finding myself being the one saying, well, there's also the good side. Here's the silver lining. So there's the one manifestation I can point to. Just doing this for 7 to 10 days, I'm the one who is now finding the positive side. That's a big change.
You know, I'm listening to this and I'm smiling from ear to ear because I remember first meeting you. And if someone had told me that, you know, 4 years from now, Walt is going to be, you know, an advocate of LOA, and even talking about Abraham Hicks, I would have said, not on your life.
Which is ironic because I was actually already studying it at the time, but I hadn't really learned it yet. I mean, I had, okay. but a lot of it didn't make sense to me, so I was still very, very resistant to it. And I'm sure that's what you were seeing.
Because you were very logical about everything, and that was like very different from now. So. Yeah, because, you know, I was just thinking about Abraham Hicks, right? Because I'm not sure I bought into the whole Abraham Hicks thing, but you have. You know, the whole, the entity. What is he? You're Abraham, right? Yeah.
Abraham is actually supposedly a series of entities all represented in one name. Yeah.
Right. I've gotten a lot of value from the writing of Esther and what's her husband's name?
Jerry.
But Abraham, I don't know.
Well, you know what I realized early on is that I didn't have to believe that part. It didn't make any difference.
Oh, exactly. That's what I realized too, which is why I can accept what they say without necessarily believing Abraham.
And I've talked with enough people through this program, even before we were doing it on PRN, I've interviewed enough people who have had experience talking with or communicating with people on the other side that uh-huh. it now seems quite reasonable to me that an Abraham could be expressing themselves through Esther Hicks. I don't know for sure that they are, but, you know, like you say, 4 years ago, I wouldn't have believed it. Now, yeah, I can believe it. You know, it's not that important, but I can believe it.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Well, we've got about a minute left. I want to do a little quick summary before we run out of time entirely. If you had each of you to say one thing that would help people get into more of a habit of visualizing, what do you think that one most important step is they could take?
I think just like you have been doing, which is making a schedule and making sure that you do it regularly. You know, some people say do it for 10 minutes, do it for an hour. You know what? You don't even have to do it for that long, but just as long as you do it regularly. I think the regularity is more important than the length of time you spend doing it. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And maybe if, for those who are having trouble even starting, you know, maybe trying to practice and coming up with zero, read a novel.
Yes.
Just to sort of get the gears working again.
That's true.
Anything that gets your imagination going is really getting the tools going that make it possible for you to selectively visualize.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, this has been great, as usual, talking about visualization and the law of attraction. And I'm not sure what we're going to be talking about next week. Maybe it's time for me to dig into the archives and see if I can bring in somebody to interview. I'm not sure where I'm going to find that person, but I'll be looking at that. Meanwhile, have a great week, you two. Continue with your life in the vortex. And we'll be looking forward to the upcoming week's reports on what's going on in the vortex.
Absolutely. We're going to visualize you getting a speaker.
Good. Yeah, that's one way to get somebody to call us. That's good. I like that. And we'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. I don't care, baby, by the way.